Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel again. If you have your Bible today, you can turn to Galatians chapter 5. Before we begin our Bible study, let's pray together. And Father, we do thank you again for this time to meet together, to study your word, to hear from you by your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would come and touch each one of us and help us to really experience and to understand the life of grace, the life of this Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray that you would do this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we began our study in Galatians chapter 5, continuing on the topic of grace. And I told you that in life we have many choices to make. Last week we looked at a few of those choices in verses 1 through 12. The choice to live under the rules and the regulation of the law, or to live under the freedom and the love of God's grace. Two different systems in which people can live out their Christian experience. And I talked about last week how if you're trying to be saved, you can only try to be saved by one of those two ways. The ways of keeping the law and being a good person, or the way of grace, trusting in Jesus alone for salvation by faith. You can trust in one or the other. It's like two ropes going up to heaven. You can't have one hand on one rope and one hand on the other rope and try to get up there. You have to let go of one and grab to the other. Last week, for many of us, we chose grace. Amen? And this morning, we're going to look at another choice that we have, and really not concerning so much about our salvation as it is about our sanctification. That word sanctification is talking about our everyday life with Jesus and how we're getting better. Becoming more holy, becoming more godly in our daily life and activity. Because I don't know about you, but as for me, when I'm studying about grace or something like that, I always like to ask the question, well, what does that have to do with my life today? How is grace, how is this teaching that we're learning here, how is it going to affect me today? How is it going to help me stop sinning and start living for God? That's our goal, right? And even the other Friday we were here, brothers and sisters came forward after the film and said, you know, I believe in Jesus and I just want to start living my life for Him. I've been living my life for myself, doing sinful, bad things. Now I want to live for Jesus. This morning, at the end of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, through 26, we get a glimpse into how we are going to live for Jesus in this world. We have to make a choice again. And it's at the top of your notes there in your bulletin, the title of the message, Flesh or Fruit? Flesh or Fruit? You can choose one or the other. We're going to look at both of those things as we study. But let's begin reading in verse 13. It says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty." That word liberty means freedom. "You've been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Here in the beginning verses of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 through 15, it talks about two things, really. It talks about liberty, about freedom. You know, we've been studying about that. That because of God's grace, because of what Jesus has done, we have been set free. Amen? Free from the bondage of sin. We all know that. But also free from living under the law, or a system of rules and regulations. Do this, don't do that, as a basis for God dealing with us, judging us, blessing us. Freedom, liberty. "And if the Son has set you free, you shall be free indeed." That's right. Jesus has come to set us free. I'm now at liberty. I'm not under the law. I'm not judged by the law. God doesn't bless me because of my good things or because of my bad things. I'm free in Christ because of His grace. Oh, what liberty that is. And here, Paul is going to answer some people who would, and this is always the fear of the legalistic teachers, that's why they don't teach about grace. that Paul is going to answer those people who say, well, if I have liberty because of grace, then that means I can just go and sin all I want. And then God will forgive me when I'm done. Have you ever thought that way before? I hope not. Maybe you have. if it's by grace, then, hey, my girlfriend, you know, we're in this relationship. I'm just going to go and do whatever I want, and then I'll ask for forgiveness later. If I live in grace, then I can just live in sin. That's what some people say. The problem with them is that they don't understand what grace is. In fact, Paul says the same thing here in verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, freedom in Christ, grace for living and for salvation. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Paul is saying this. Don't use the fact that you are under grace as an excuse to go out and sin. That's what Paul says. And really, in another place, he says, if you do that, you don't even understand what grace is. You don't even understand what this thing is that we've been called into, the freedom that we have. In fact, listen to this. Grace is given to us not so that we can live in sin. Grace is given to us so that we can be set free from sin. It's a big difference. And if you have been born again by the Holy Spirit of God, if the Holy Spirit has come into your life by faith in Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. You don't want to sin anymore. And when I'm in counseling and I talk to brothers and sisters in the Lord, many times they come to me and say, Pastor, I don't want to sin, but I find myself falling and stumbling. Have you experienced that? I have. I'm a pastor and I've experienced that. And with us who are believers, who have been born again, our desire that is given to us by the Holy Spirit is to live a godly life without sin. That's my desire, isn't it yours? That's what I want. I don't want to sin. I don't want to do those bad things that sometimes I feel myself desiring to do. That's called the flesh. We'll look at that in a few minutes. I don't want to do that. And what I want to be is to be set free from sin, from the bondage that I was in, from that pull, that desire, that wickedness that I find inside of myself. And so those people who say, well, I'm under grace, so I'm going to go sin. The truth is this, they've never been born again. Those aren't believers. Those are people looking for an excuse to continue doing what they always wanted to do. That's not a Christian. And Paul says the same thing. Don't use it as an opportunity or as a, that word really means a base of operations for sinning. Okay, now I'm in grace, so let's go sin. No, that's not grace. And he says, but through love, serve one another. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 2 says this, dealing with this issue of sinning because of grace. And Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Because some people are saying this, if when I sin, God's grace is glorified, because the worse of a sinner you are, the more of God's grace is seen, is shown. And if I sin and God's grace is glorified, then I might as well sin more so that He'll get more glory for His grace. That's what they were thinking. Well, if God is glorified because He saved me from my deep sin, then I'll just go deeper into sin and then God will receive more glory. You ask someone in the church, what's your ministry, brother? My ministry is to sin so that God gets the glory. I'm in the sinning ministry. I want to bring glory to God's grace. We laugh about that, but that's how some people think in their minds. And Paul says, no. Are you mad? Certainly not. We who are dead to sin, how can we live any longer in it? Those of you who have been born again, how can you live in sin and be happy? When I first became a Christian, when I first was born again, the Spirit came into my life. I tried to live in the same sin as I was living in before I was saved. Have you experienced that before? I tried to go with my same friends, do the same things that I was doing before I got saved. And do you know what? It wasn't the same. I wasn't happy at all. In fact, I was miserable. Because the whole time I was doing those sinful things, I was thinking, I don't want to do this. This doesn't make me feel good anymore. Because God had changed my heart and He was leading me on a different path. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 16 says that we are free, yet we should not use our liberty, our freedom, as a cloak for vice. Vice means evil, wickedness. As a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. We are free to do whatever we want to do. What I want to do is to serve the Lord and to live for Him. We shouldn't use it as a covering for our sinful behavior. But through love, serve one another is what we are called to do. Before we experience God's grace, listen to this. Before we experience God's grace, we are in bondage to sin. Now that we have experienced, His grace, we have been set free, and now we have the ability, to love. Before we were in bondage to sin, we had no ability to love and to serve one another. Do you believe that? We were in bondage. That means our hands are tied behind my back. I'm thrown into the prison. Bondage to sin. I had no ability to love or to do things that were good or right for the Lord. And now that we have been set free, our liberty should be used not to go and sin. That's what we've been set free from. Amen? Not to go back there to bondage. Because whoever you serve, that's who your master is. If you're serving sin, then you're a slave to sin. Not to go back to sin. That's not what liberty is for, grace is for. Liberty and grace and freedom is for love. Because we couldn't do that before. I couldn't love before. I was in bondage to sin. Sin doesn't let me love. It only lets me hate. Now I've been set free from that, and Paul says here, not to go back there, but to go over here, to love, and to serve one another. And he says, all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said the same thing. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and mind, and this is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. Love. Amen? Love is the greatest thing. Think about it. You take the Ten Commandments, the law, right? The Ten Commandments. If you, and Jesus said this, if you love God and love your neighbor, you will never break any of the Ten Commandments. Did you know that? Think about it. If you love God above, if you love God, you're not going to put other gods before Him, are you? No. If you love God, you're not going to make a graven image, an idol, are you? No. That would be offensive to Him. I love Him. If you love God, you're not going to take His name in vain. If you love God, you'll keep His Sabbath. You'll take a rest, which is in Jesus. Another study. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to murder them. Amen? When's the last time you murdered someone you loved? Because you loved them. Hey, I love you.
Boom.
No. If you love someone, you're not going to lie to them. If you love someone, you're not going to covet the things that they... If you love someone, you're not going to break those. You see, all of the law can be fulfilled by loving God and loving your neighbor. That's it. The problem is this. The law can be fulfilled by that, but the law can never give us the ability to do that. I can't love just because the law says you better love. Right? It's like looking in the mirror. The law is like a mirror. It can only show us that we fail. It can only show us what should be the right thing and that we're doing the wrong thing. It can never give us the ability to do it. That's why legalism is a bad, bad system. Because a pastor can shout all day, you better give, you better do, you better, you come to the meetings and all that. And the problem is, he doesn't give any instruction on how we can have the ability to do those things. Legalism can never give you that ability, ever. But you know what? Grace can. God's grace can give us the ability. And that's why the Bible says when we're dead in trespasses and sins, Christ has set us free. given us that ability. Now we can love one another and serve one another. It's not law on the outside, but love on the inside that makes the difference. It's not law on the outside, but love on the inside that makes the difference. Verse 16, Galatians chapter 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know, verse 16 is one of those verses that we should memorize. We should have memorized and even make a t-shirt with the words on the t-shirt so we can be reminded. If you want, you know, people say the Bible is so impractical. It has a lot of theology, a lot of teaching, but it's not there when I need it for everyday life. That's not true. This verse is directly applicational for our everyday life. It's as simple as this. And I don't want to be overly simplistic. We're going to study the rest of the chapter. This is the point. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's it. You want to know how to live a godly life? How to live a life that pleases the Lord? Walk in the Spirit. You may say, well, easy for you to say, Pastor. What does that mean? Walk in the Spirit. Let's read on. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not under the law. There's two ways to walk, okay? You can imagine yourself walking down a road, and then there's two different paths that you can take in life. You can walk, I should say, and when I speak about walk in the Spirit, I'm talking about our daily activities, our daily thoughts, our daily actions, whatever we're doing. That's our called our walk, okay? You can walk in the Spirit, or there's two choices. Walk in the Spirit, or you can walk in the flesh. You can walk in the Spirit, you can walk in the flesh. What about walking in the Spirit? The gift of the Holy Spirit has been given to us by grace. Do you know who the Holy Spirit is? The Holy Spirit is God who has come and made his home inside of here. I'm pointing at my heart, my life. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will be given to you. If I go away, I will send another comforter. He will be with you and he will be in you. And he will teach you all things that I have commanded, even to the end of the age and all that. The Holy Spirit, he's here with me. God himself lives and resides inside of my body by his Holy Spirit. Amen? Let me ask you something. Do you think that the Holy Spirit has the power to live a life of holiness? A life of godliness? Do you think so? Yeah, he does. In fact, Jesus, when he was here on this earth, is our example. He depended upon the Father. He lived by the power of the Spirit. He always did the things that pleased the Father. He always did. And when it says walk in the Spirit, it means walk by the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of your life if you are a believer. Because listen to this. He has the ability to do what is right through your life. Do you believe that? He has the ability to keep you from doing those sinful things that the flesh wants to do. We'll look at the flesh in a few moments. If we desire to live a godly life, then we must walk and trust in the Spirit. It cannot come through walking in and trusting in the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You see the two ways there in that verse? The flesh and the Spirit. Well, what is the flesh? What is it? Simply put, it is this. Our body and our old sinful nature that we were born with. You know, someone told me one time that humans are basically good creatures. Humans are basically good. They are kind of just good, and they have to be taught to be bad. Have you ever heard that before? Oh, don't hate yourself, because humans, they are good. And people are puzzled. They scratch their head when they look out at the world and all of the evil and wickedness that's happening, and they say, I don't know why there are so many wars in this world, why there's so many problems, because people are basically good. The truth is this. This may hurt your feelings a little bit. It may make you sad, but it's good to know. Humans are not basically good. They are basically bad. In fact, the Bible says, from the time we were born with a sinful nature. That means it comes naturally for us to sin and to live in wickedness. That's natural. Have you ever seen a dog? Imbwa. That's Luganda. I almost ran over our dog this morning in my car. But anyway, there was if you've seen a dog, you know a dog does several things. A dog barks, right? A dog will bark. That's the nature of a dog. He barks. A dog will wag its tail. That's the nature of a dog. A dog walks on four legs. That is the nature of a dog. That's what a dog does. You don't have to teach a dog how to bark. He just does it. Right? You don't have to teach a dog how to wag its tail. He just wags the tail. You do have to teach a dog how to sit. Right? Because a dog does not naturally sit. Anyway, I think you get the point. Naturally, a dog does those things because they are a dog. Emboa. What about humans? Humans are born with a sinful nature. That means naturally we sin. Those of you who are parents, did any of you teach your children how to be selfish? How many of you parents taught your children how to be selfish? Nobody? How many of you taught your children how to hit the other children and beat them? How many of your children taught your children how to scream and to cry? And to do all these things they do that we don't like. Nobody taught them how to do it. They do it naturally because naturally they are born with a sinful nature. And I've heard it said that if a small baby had increased in size to be larger than a person, then the baby would kill people. Amen? Have you ever seen a baby? They just kill people. It's a good thing that's why God made it start so small and then get bigger as they matured. So they could learn how to be good. Amen? We teach our children how to be good. Nobody teaches them to be bad. They are bad naturally. The Bible says the same thing. I don't have to give many illustrations. Romans chapter 3, you just read that chapter. You'll see that we're bad. And that bad nature is called in Scripture the flesh. Okay? That's the flesh. And it goes on to say, listen, the works of the flesh. What does the flesh want to do? What will I do if I walk in the flesh? Well, the answer is here in chapter 5 in Galatians, in verse 19. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. All of those things deal with sexual immorality. Verse 20, idolatry, sorcery or witchcraft, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Did you see that list? That is a bad list. I don't want to see my name next to a list like that. But here is the truth, and listen to this. You need to know this. The ability, the capacity to do each of those things lies within my flesh. And before I was born again by the Holy Spirit, I did many of those things. Maybe you did too. We all have those things inside of our flesh. And listen, if we walk in the ability, if we trust in our flesh to do good, to do right, the only thing we're going to end up doing is these things. Romans chapter 7. You can read the whole chapter after the service. I encourage you to do so. Speaks of Paul's struggle with his flesh. You know, the Apostle Paul, though he was an apostle, he was still a human being. He still had the flesh, the old sinful nature. And he comes to a conclusion, well, several conclusions, one of which is in verse 18 of Romans chapter 7. He says, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Let's learn this about our own ability, our own natural goodness, our own strength, our own resources in our flesh. Let's learn this about it today and learn it once and for all. In me, in you, in our flesh, in our best effort that we have naturally without the Holy Spirit's help, our best ability in my flesh dwells no good thing. How many good things dwell in my flesh? No good thing. And Paul says this, to will is present with me, meaning I want to do what is right. That was the Spirit speaking to him. Remember I told you, I want to do what is right. But I look in my own best effort, my own flesh, and I don't find the ability to do what is right. I can't do it. How many of us, what a liberating truth. How many of us have experienced the fact of there's this sin in my life and I hate doing it, but I find myself, I keep on doing it. And then I come to church and I say, oh God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please cleanse me, God. Oh. And then the next day we go out and we do the same thing again. Have you experienced that before? Or am I the only one? I know I'm not the only one. Paul experienced it too, Romans chapter 7. That is the experience of someone who hasn't learned about the grace of Christ and walking in the Spirit. And listen, I go back to that sometimes. I still struggle with the flesh. We will until the day we die. Nobody is perfect. And until the day we die, we will still struggle with our flesh. But we need to know this morning. There is a resource, an ability available to us. It is the Holy Spirit living inside. And through the Spirit, we can put to death the deeds of the flesh. You want to live in victory? Walk in the Spirit. You want to live in victory? Stop trusting in your own best effort. You can't do it. And there are motivational speakers today saying, you can do it. Just believe in yourself, brother. And I'm telling you this morning, you can't do it. Don't trust in yourself. That's it. That's the last time I come to Calvary Chapel. I'm out of here. You can't do it. I can't do it. Don't trust in yourself. You are not strong enough to live for God in the power of your own flesh and your own strength. But listen, this morning I'm here to tell you by God's grace that there is someone who lives inside of you who can do it. It's the Holy Spirit. And God desires for each one of us to stop trusting in ourselves and to start trusting in Him. And listen, in my life, the day that a lot of the big sins that I was practicing when I got saved, the day that those went is the day that I said, God, I was crying. I said, God, I can't stop sinning. I just keep doing it. I can't stop. And God, if you want me to follow you, then you're going to have to do the work because I can't do it anymore. It was like I gave up on myself. I just can't. And God, I want to follow you, but you're going to have to do the work. And you know what the Lord said? He said, amen. That is exactly what I want to do for you, Brian. And God showed me that by His Spirit, by His strength, He can cause us to walk in a life of victory. He wants to do that for us, but He cannot do that for us if we keep on trusting in our own selves. It's only Him. It's only the Holy Spirit that can lead us in the path of victory. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking and trusting in the Spirit will produce fruit in our life. We looked at the flesh. If you walk in the flesh, if you trust in your flesh, you're going to produce the works of the flesh, right? And those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, who practice them habitually. There are all those things we looked at. But the Spirit, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. If we walk in the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, not trusting in ourselves, allowing God to do His work through us by His power, then we will produce fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Love and joy and peace and gentleness, all the rest. The fruit of the Spirit. Listen, those are things that I want in my life, day by day. Amen. I want those things. I want to be a loving guy. I want to be full of peace. I want to be patient and long-suffering. You know, even this morning when I was driving to church, I was driving and there's the taxis, they just pull right out in front of you. And I have a choice. I can really find out if I'm walking in the flesh or in the spirit at that moment. If I'm walking in the flesh, outbursts of wrath, anger, contention. Yeah, you. And then Josh, shake your finger. We're shaking our fingers. That's not right. That's illegal. I can find out if I'm walking in the flesh or the spirit. If I'm walking in the spirit, I just press on my brakes. Oh, God bless you. Oh, I hope you're having a good day. Bye-bye. Peace, you see, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. That's what I want. That's what I want my life to be like. And my life, listen, our lives can be like that by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do that. Not in our own strength, but in His strength. He can do that, I should say, through us. It's His life lived through us. Notice that these are evidences of our faith in Christ. The fact that the Holy Spirit is in our lives is proved by the fruit of the Spirit lived in our lives. Amen? Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. Because if something's bad on the inside, then eventually it's going to come bad on the outside. If the Holy Spirit is living and working in our lives, then the proof of the work of the Spirit will be the fruit of the Spirit. Some people have said, you know, if you have the Holy Spirit, then you will speak in tongues. I say, praise God, speaking in tongues is great. We, Calvary Chapel, we believe speaking in tongues is wonderful, according to God's Word. But speaking in tongues or doing miracles or prophesying or any of those things, that is not proof that you have the Holy Spirit. Do you know what the proof of the Spirit is? The fruit of the Spirit. Because I've seen a lot of people speak in tongues and then shout at someone next to them and act so angry that I know there's no Spirit in there, at least not the Holy Spirit. If a person claims to be filled with the Spirit, then they will be loving. They will be joyful. They will be full of peace. They will be patient. They will be kind and good and faithful. They will be self-controlled. And that is my desire. I'm telling you again. I want to be those things, and God can do those things through us by His Spirit. Christian character, and if I could sum it up this morning, Christian character is produced by the Holy Spirit, not by self-effort. Did you hear that? Christian character, or the fruit of the Spirit, we could say from our passage. Christian character is produced by the Holy Spirit, not by self-effort. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the one who produces the fruit. And Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do some things. Pastor. False teaching, Pastor. Without me, you can do many things. But with me, you can do more things. Is that what it says? Does it say, try as hard as you can in your own best effort, and then when you come to the point of failure, then ask God to come and help? Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And it says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. For without me you can do nada. That's Spanish. Nada. Nothing. You can do nothing. And we are trying to do the works of God in the strength of our own flesh. And Jesus says, without me you can't even do one single good thing for me. And that's why I say this morning, get off the path of trusting in yourself and your own ability and get on the path of letting God and do it by His grace, by His Spirit. Because with Him we'll bear much fruit. That's what He said. You don't see, and now mangoes are delicious fruit. Amen. We love mangoes so much. And if any of you have seen a mango tree, you know that a mango tree is there. And then after you put some water on it and the sun shines on it, you know, the mango tree kind of just produces fruit, mango, right? I have never seen, maybe you have seen this, you can correct me at the end of the service. I have never seen a mango tree that was just shaking and sweating, sweat coming down the mango tree and groaning, produce the mango, bear fruit, sweat coming down, shaking the tree. You know why? Because a mango tree just produces mango fruit naturally. It just happens. The branches on the mango tree produce mangoes because the branches are connected to the root of the tree into the ground. And it just produces. Listen, if you want to produce the fruit of the Spirit, the good things that God wants you to do in your life, the only thing you need to do is to be connected to Jesus Christ and to trust in His Holy Spirit. You can't do anything to make fruit produce in your life on your own strength, your own effort. It's the Spirit, the life of the Spirit. And when we start living the life of the Spirit, we will be joyful and happy and blessed people. Amen? Oh, it's so good. Freedom from sin, victory over sin. We'll still fail, no doubt. The flesh is still there. But now we are no longer in bondage to it. We have freedom. If we live in the Spirit, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Conclusion, because we are Christ, then the power that the flesh has over us has been defeated. The flesh is still here. It still wants to do bad. I still have those thoughts, those desires sometimes. But now because the Spirit is here, I have victory over the flesh. So I have the ability by God's strength and grace to say no to those temptations that come my way. The point is this morning. The only thing we have to do is to be willing to let God do the work through our lives. Because many times in a temptation, a choice will come to you. Are you going to do the bad thing? Are you going to do the good thing? In that moment, we have to be willing to say, God, I feel like doing that bad thing, but I'm willing for you to work in me and make the right decision. God has given us that ability by His Spirit. We don't have it in our flesh. I think you get the point. Let us not become conceited, proud, provoking one another, envying one another. Listen, the reason why I enjoy this message about the fruit of the Spirit, the Spirit's work in our lives, is because when the Holy Spirit gets hold of us in our lives, this place is going to be a place of joy, a place where there is no conceit, where there is no quarreling, where there are no problems. If the Spirit has His work in all of our lives, this is going to be a great place to be. Amen? And that's my prayer for all of us, myself included. Let us walk in the Spirit. He's given us His Holy Spirit to give us strength, to give us the ability to live a godly life by faith. Amen? Let's stand together. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for Your grace, Lord. Thank You for the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, the abundance of Your Spirit, Lord. And Your grace is more than enough for us. We pray, Lord, that each of us would learn to trust in You rather than trusting in ourselves. We pray that You would help us to do even this by Your Spirit who lives in us. In Jesus' name, amen.